Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. It was so funny. Dana's a little mad at me because while she was being online and that, I got behind the camera and I was making faces and stuff at her, and she looked at me. Don't do that to me. It is nice, though, Dana, because I was going to have Dana come and be on stage and listen to this message because she's been ornery to me during some of our staff meetings and time. She actually hit me, and we were gathered together for prayer. She whacked me along the side, and I go, "Is this how your culture loves people?" What was that? I did not make fun of your height. I said, "How high are you?" And you said, "How tall are you?" And you said 5'2". And I go, "Oh wow, you're in the fives." And then she hit me. I don't know. And I was saying, I took a girl out once in high school who was 4'11". And I was 6'4", so I was just saying, hey, she was in the fours. You're in the fives. Man, five, the number of grace. And the number of hitting in Filipino, I think, is what that means. Anyway, we have fun. I tell our staff, I say, I want this to be the funnest place that you have ever worked. And we're always going to make sure that happens. One of our core values is we have fun. So, because I think Jesus had fun. I think Jesus had fun, a lot of fun. So we're talking about all for one in 21. All of us, we need one another. I think it's a time of unity, a time for us really to come together. All of us for Jesus, all of us together. I think there's something powerful in that. I said a couple weeks ago that there's four things that we must do to see a spiritual climate in America change. We need to humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our wicked ways. And then God would do three things. God would hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and He would heal our land. Last week I said there are two crucial things we need in this hour. We need to hear Jesus, we need to hear His voice, and we need truth. We need to hear it, and we need to do it. And then I said there's two things to know about truth, is that the devil is a liar, but the Holy Spirit is truth, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and He's a discerner of that truth. And there are two ways to hear Jesus and the truth. Read the Word of God every single day. Read it every day if you can. Read it every day because we need to be infiltrated with that. Because remember, we talked about last week that this is the filter that causes it to filter out all the junk of the world so we can get down to what is the truth, what is the living water that we need for us each and every day. So let me continue. I think it's surprise to any of us to realize that as a nation that we're hurting. I think that we're in need of healing. We're a divided country. It seems that we're getting more and more divided. But I think also that the big issue to me is that division is also moving into the church. I think as a church becoming divided, We're becoming divided on well, I think we should do this, and I think we should do that, and all of our thoughts and whatever. I think it's dividing the church, and I don't think that's supposed to happen. I've told people my job is I'm keeping the church together. We're going to stay as one because that's God's plan. So my job is to keep us together and moving as one man, that we move together. We hear a lot about unity, because unity is the answer. But unity does not happen by telling the other side to grin and bear it. Do what we say and obey and we'll have unity. You disagree with us and everything will be unity. I think that's dictatorship. I think forced unity is false unity and it will never last. If forced unity is honestly disunity because they're not together. We're only by name, not by reality, put together. But I think true unity comes as we listen to each other. True unity comes as we listen to each other, debate our thoughts and concerns, not censor them, but we debate our thoughts and concerns and our differences, letting the truth speak to the lies so that what we have left is truth because we've allowed it to be spoken to. We've allowed concepts and ideologies and thoughts and understanding to be spoken to so that we can get rid of some of the lies that are out there. I think we need to listen to the other side and try to understand where they're coming from. We need to try to understand their feelings. We need to try to understand their pain. We need to try to understand their plight. And that's the reasons that Jesus Christ came to the earth, is so he could understand us. So he could understand us. I think that's what's really lacking in America today. We have people that have their ideologies and thoughts, and nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to understand the other person. Nobody wants to walk in the other person's shoes and try to figure out, where are you coming from? Because in order for us to be healed, we got to understand where the problems are, where the issues are, where the hurts are, so that we can apply biblical, I believe, mandates that will cause us to come together in unity. But we're not going to do that by stifling or shutting up. Or we need to be able to speak. We need to be able to express. We need to be able to talk. We need to be able also to listen. We do a great job of talking, but we don't do a very good job of listening. And the great thing about Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he didn't just do a lot of talking. He did a lot of listening. He would listen to the hurts and the pains and the issues. And the great thing about when Jesus Christ came here is he came here like one of us. Not a God that's out there that's so distant and far away, but he came just like us so he could feel like us and think like us and understand how it is down here. He walked in our shoes. He walked in our shoes, not for just a mile. You know, it says we're supposed to, you know, walk in another person's moccasins. And Jesus even said, Matthew 5:41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them 2. Go the extra mile. And Jesus went the extra mile as he walked in our shoes, not just for a mile or two, but for 33 and a half years. He walked in our shoes, from baby shoes to sandals to feet that then ended up with holes in them as they were nailed to the cross. You see, Jesus understood us. Because he became like us. He felt like us. So he could understand, he could talk to us. I think we need that in our nation. We need to understand, where is the other person coming from? And not just censor them. And not just shut them up. We have to have empathy, compassion, understanding, mercy, grace for one another. But instead, I think today we have outrage. We have outrage. Dan and I were talking and he had this quote. He said, what we have today is an outrage culture. What we need is an outreach culture. We're very good about having outrage about what we don't like about you, why you're different and why we hate you. But Jesus didn't come with an outrage. He came with an outreach. We need to be understanding the other person. Where are you coming from? And offering a solution. And that solution has always been and will always be Jesus Christ and his gospel and walking in his way and in his truth. But it's not forcing it down somebody. It's showing them that we're different. Showing them something different. That we care more about the person's soul than we care about his political persuasion. Jesus came to a culture that was in outrage against the Romans. They were outraged against the Romans. The political atmosphere, what was happening that day. And so what did he speak to? Let's kill the Romans. No, he spoke outreach into the hearts of the people. He spoke into the hearts of the people. I know what you see out there, but I'm talking to things that are in here. I want to change you, because if I can change you, I can give you a different perspective, then I can change the world. And that's what his endeavor was. But you see, the main tool of the devil that he's using today is to steal, kill, and destroy. That word destroy means to ruin America, is division. He's using division. Division can destroy us as a nation in a very short time. Division can destroy us as a nation in a very short time. It's amazing how we can take positive people and get them all disrupted in a very short time. I took 1,000 positive people and took two negative people to see if they could divide the group. And what do? They divide it. And then we take the 500 that are still positive, and then we take, divide them out. We have 250, and then we divide them out, and it's 125, and we divide them out, and it's 62.5, and we divide them out, and it's 31.25, and then we divide them out, and it's 15.625, and we divide them out, and it's 78125. Of course, you all knew that. And we divide them out, and it's 3.906, and we divide them out, and it's 1.9. In 9 iterations, we take 1,000 positive people, and we're left with 2. I think what's happened in our nation is the division. This long division can take a short time and change America. In Mark 3, 25 and 24, Jesus said this. It's important. If the kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. The word cannot means it is not possible. It cannot. It's not possible for a kingdom to stand if it's divided. In fact, it's impossible. It cannot happen. You can't have a kingdom stand when it's divided against itself. It will implode. It will divide. It will be gone. The devil's plan is to divide and conquer. He goes on to say, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. It's impossible. It's impossible for it to stand. Divided. Meridzo. It means to part. To disunite. To disunite. To differ. To disunite. To take what's come together and to split it apart. To split it apart. When you are divided or disunited, or have disunity, you cannot stand. It is not possible to do so. The kingdom falls apart. The house falls apart. But also the church falls apart and the nation falls apart. With disunity. When we're at each other's throats. Division, I put on our overhead here. Division is the enemy's greatest tool. It's the enemy's greatest tool. And hear this. The enemy uses division to get you to stop fighting him and to start fighting everyone else. If you don't think that today in our society, the devil is just sitting back with his arm up against the water cooler and he's just laughing because nobody's attacking him. And everybody is attacking everybody else. That's what we're doing today. We quit fighting the devil and we started fighting everybody else. But I believe in my Bible, it says in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, these dark places. Yet we're fighting people. We're hating people. Instead of hating the devil, hating darkness, hating his deception, hating division, we're hating people. Jesus never hated anybody. And they were divided too back in that day. But he brought them together. He spoke words of truth, words of life. He said, be different. Don't hate. Love instead. Move toward. Reach out a hand rather than spit. Reach out a hand. Love somebody. Make a difference. Go out of your way. We have now words saying like the enemy is within. No, the devil is the enemy. The enemy is not within. The devil is the enemy. But we have demonized everyone else except the devil, who is the true demon. We've demonized everybody else. Gosh, we got to quit doing this. We got to quit hating this party or that party. We got to quit hating people because they say this or that. We got to start loving people and start convincing them of what the truth is because that's how Jesus did it. He spoke truth and it was against what they thought the day. And the people said, wow, that's hard, but it's good. It's true. It's right. It's what's needed in our day. It's what's needed in this hour. We need to stop the devil. he's laughing. And nobody is going after him. Nobody is going. We're going after people by name. Instead of the devil by his ideology. Instead of the country doing this, the church doing this, coming together, we're doing this. We're doing this. We need to be doing this. We need to be uniting together. The devil is using the tactic to divide us as a nation. And the real tragedy is it's starting to work on the church too. We're becoming divided. I don't like it. We don't speak enough about. We don't do enough about. We don't do this. We don't do that. What about? What about? We have all of these things now that begin to bother us because we should be more. Maybe we should be more Christ-like. Maybe we should be more outreach-focused. Maybe we should be more like what Jesus did when he was here, facing the same things that he was facing. Speaking truth. Speaking truth. Speaking truth. Speaking truth and loving people in the process. The devil wants disunity. He wants division. Jesus wants unity. For us to be one, all for one in 21. One in him. He wants us one in him. And I want to get to our topic today, which is John 17, 20 through 23. Would you please stand and let's read it together? Let's do it together. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Amen. You may be seated. I think a very, very important topic. This is the prayer after communion. Jesus had just got done with communion and they're on their way to cross the Brook Kidron to go to the Garden of Gethsemane where he's going to be betrayed. So it's Jesus' last words. His last words, I think, are something important about last words, right? A dying person, hey, remember to. Probably the most important thing in their mind. Very, very important. The interesting thing about this passage here, reminiscing, this is the passage that was the very first message I preached on a Sunday morning back in November of 1982. How many weren't alive in 82? Oh, geez. Gosh. Well, you should have been. You missed it. It was November of 82. I had just come on staff. I was working at the Corps of Engineers, just resigned from my position down there. Came on staff. So I was just a newbie here. But what had happened, our pastors, I wasn't a pastor, I wasn't nothing. And they were all at a retreat and they were doing they had a big retreat, and a function they had to do. And they said, hey, we got to all go do this. We can't do the message that Sunday. Can you do the message Sunday? And I'm going, oh my gosh. So the fifth message, and I'd preached four other times before then, like on a Wednesday, I'd done a couple there, but it was the first time I was going to speak to the entire congregation. Message number five. Now I was talking to Kathy when we're on almost 800 Sunday messages we've been at. If you count CCF, which was about 600 messages we did for the 19 years before that, this is probably my 400th message. 400th message. Thank you. 1,400. I am an engineer. I do math, but not very well. My 1,400th message. You thought I would be better at it by this time, wouldn't you? I have to say, I have been so blessed that you've listened to a lot of messages. I've been so blessed that you've been willing to allow me to stir your heart for the kingdom of God. I feel so blessed that you have trusted me to bring the word day in and day out, uncompromisingly, sometimes hard, sometimes difficult, sometimes fun. But we all want this, to get into this, and ultimately rest right here in our heart. That's what God wants for us. So I do thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. So let's talk about the word. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone. Jesus is praying for us. He's praying. He's at the very end of everything, and he's beginning to pray here. This is important. He's asking his Father God to do something. And he says, I do not pray for these alone, his disciples, who were right with him right then, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That is all of us. That Jesus is praying for all Christians then, now, and in the future. He's praying for everyone who names the name, who has, or will in the future name the name of Jesus Christ. He's praying for all of us that will believe in me through their word. And here is what Jesus is praying for all Christians everywhere. That they, these Christians, all may be one. One. The word one here in these few passages is used five times. Five, the number of grace in these three verses. Jesus is praying for us to be one, and the devil is scheming for us to be divided. You get it? God is praying. He knew the power of us. We needed to be one together. And the devil knew how powerful that was. And so he's scheming to divide us as best he can, to get us to fight one another instead of fighting him. The word one here in the Greek, heis, very, very important word. It means one. That's it. One. Very simple. Very precise. He just wants us to be one. Jesus is not praying for us to be the same. Hear this. Jesus is not praying for us to be the same, but to be one. We are all different, with different backgrounds, different stories, different hobbies, different likes, different dislikes, different opinions. But we are to be one. In unity. Together. Like-minded. Heavenly-minded. God-focused. Spiritual. Now remember, he's not trying to get us all to be the same, all to look the same, all to walk the same. He is trying to get us to be different, but one, to make up the body of Christ, that we're moving as one man. We're watching the gladiators, and he's in there, and they're all getting fight. They're fighting there, and he goes, "Move as one." And so they're moving as one, and they defeat him. And well, you've seen the story. It's good. Move as one. Move as one. Move as one. Different. Different. Different sizes. Some are in the 5-foot range. Some are in the 6-foot range. Some are in the 4-foot range. We're different. But we move as one. They love one another. They love one another. They lay their lives down for one another. Therefore, they move as one. And there's great power in that. We must stick together, church. We must stick together, church. Because the enemy, our adversary, is trying to divide us. Trying to conquer by division. Trying to get us to not like each other. Even in the church. You voted for who? It should be, and you're living for who? Amen. Jesus. You see, God loves oneness. he's so cool. He loves oneness. Number one, the Trinity. There's three separate, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but they're all one. Three, but one. It's a mystery. I don't get it. Yeah, well, they're three separate, different, but they're one. You see, in marriage, man, one. Woman, one. Two become one. Mark 8:10, 8:9. And the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but they're actually one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Let not man pull apart or disunite. Let not man do that. Thirdly, the church. He just said it right here. He wants us to be one. The body of Christ, many members, but we're to be one. And in the same way, he's saying, let not man separate what God brought together in the church. And we have mankind trying to separate out us as a church. We need to walk in unity. We're different. We're all different. Thank God we're different. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, that we're different. But the glory of the body of Christ is that it walks as one man with its head, Jesus Christ, and we're the body walking and taking the orders from the head, listening to the commands of the head, and the body does what the head has asked, all different members, doing all different things. Thank God. Continuing on this scripture. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. We got the Father and the Son are one, and then us, we're one. We're one with them. That's a mystery. I don't understand it. Believe me, I don't get it all. We're one. Father, Son, and us are one. That's a powerful mystery. But it's something absolutely miraculous and amazing that we're one, one with God, one with Jesus. It's important to God. We need to be like-minded with God. God's mind becoming our mind is what makes us one. And what's the result of this unity with God and with each other? He says here, that the world may believe that you sent me. That the world may believe that you sent me. God's intent is that our unity, our being one, would help the world believe in Jesus. The result of us being one would be evangelism, would be outreach, not outrage. Look how they love one another. Look how they reach out. Look how they care. Look at that. They're different than us. We hate each other. We fight each other. We rip each other apart. But they love each other. They help each other. After a while, hating each other doesn't get us anywhere. But I see what happens with love when these people loving one another. I want to get into that group. I want to be different. I want to be different. I don't want to be dog eat dog. I'm tired of dog. I want to eat at the banqueting table of the Lord, where there's every delicacy. We need revival in America. We need another great awakening in America. There have been a couple of them that transformed us as a nation, and I pray that we're on the verge of another one, and that's what we need to be praying for. God, awaken America to its sin. Awaken America to our wrongs. Awaken America to awaken the church, Lord, so that we can be about the business of the Father, sharing Christ with the world that just seems to be consuming itself. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. The glory. We talked about that, I think, in the Word, about the glory that God has given us. I give to them. Wow. The same glory that God has given us, Jesus, that God gave to Jesus, Jesus is giving to us this glory. Not individually, but he's giving to us as one. There's something glorious about unity. There's something just glorious about unity. And in Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's something good about it. And this word good is an amazing word, a Hebrew word, an amazing Hebrew word. It's the word tob, and it means good. That's all it means. Good. Not better. Not best. I keep going, it's got to be better or best. It's got to be something. And then I realized, oh, it's the same word God when after he created all of the world and all of everything and all of the mankind and all of the animals and everything, he says, it's good. It's good. If he used it about his own creation, about his own amazing world that he created and said it's good, I think that when he says unity is good, it's probably a very good word. He says it's good. It's pleasant. The word pleasant means delightful. Delightful. Not dog eat dog. Not hard. Not arduous. Not, oh God, here we go again. But we're together. It's delightful. It's conflict subsides and we just enjoy. I'm not saying that we won't be different. We'll have different views and all that. That's great. But we move as one. And there's something beautiful about that. There's something that we have to show the world that it can have if it just wants to accept Christ. Continue on. That they may be one just as we are one in them, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now that one really took me. That they may be what? Made perfect? The word perfect. Teleo'o. Teleo'o. It means to complete, accomplish, to consummate. The word consummate means the ultimate end, the finish, or the ta-da! Boom, 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 boom. Ba-ba! I mean, it's like the final, the ta-da. That's what he said. Made perfect, complete. Made perfect, made complete. This is saying it takes the oneness of the body of Christ for us to obtain perfection. He's coming back for a bride, right? A perfect and spotless bride. Not a finger or a nose or a little toe. He's coming back for an assembled body. He's coming back for his bride. His bride is supposed to be made perfect. He's coming back for a body that's rubbed one another in the right way so that they're just loving one another. That's what he's coming for. It's part of God's finished plan for mankind, is this perfection that comes from us being one. One with the Father and one with the Son and one with each other. A mystery. No wonder the devil wants to divide us. He doesn't want us one. He wants us to hate one another. But we're one nation under God rather than a divided nation under Satan. We need one another. You complete me. I know you all wanted to see this.
We live in a cynical world. A cynical world.
And we do.
We work in a business of tough competitors. I love you. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello. Hello. Oh, no. You know, this is the best talking group ever.
Oh, everybody say, oh. Would you rather say, oh, or, I hate you? They say, ah, right? I like to get our world off of I hate you and back to, ah. We need Jesus. We need his influence in our life. We do live in a cynical world, and I'll talk about that later. But you complete me. You complete me. I think even with Christ, he's a head. Without a body, he's a headless, or he's a bodiless head. I think he says to us, you complete me. I need you, body. I need you. I got a lot of work to do. I need you united, not divided. I love you. I love you. I love you. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You have loved me. What is our oneness supposed to look like? I think we're supposed to be like-minded. I think we're supposed to be kingdom of God focused. I think oneness looks like we're Christ-centered. I think oneness is spiritual. I think oneness is we're all in. There's no secret life, no plan B to all of this, no exit strategy. My strategy is just to live for the kingdom of God. And let me conclude with this from Romans 12, 4 through 6. Speaking of the church again. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We're different. That's good. That's healthy. That's awesome. We may have a different opinion. We have different stories. We have different likes. We have different dislikes. That's okay. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then giftings differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use our giftings. What? To bring about unity, to bring about oneness, to bring about the kingdom of God, to bring the revelation of the Father to a world that's so lost in their dog-eat-dog strategy. Pretty soon there won't be any dogs left to eat. You know, when I think about a puzzle. You know, puzzles, they got so many different pieces. This is just a kid puzzle. It's got 48 because I got real big ones in here. But they're different. Every puzzle piece is a different piece. They don't look the same. They look differently. If they all look the same, it would not be fun putting this puzzle together, would it? If this was all just the same picture over and over again, the same little thing, we have no idea what the heck's going on with this. The other thing is when we start putting this puzzle together, we put this puzzle together, it's difficult. You know, you got to put the borders in and you put this stuff. Has anybody here put a puzzle together backwards instead of putting the borders together, work for the inside out? We do have a few crazies. Good. They want to make it more difficult. I can do that on a 48-piece puzzle, but not on a 2,000-piece puzzle. In our nation today, we have a 333-million-piece puzzle. That's difficult to put together. And right now, we've dropped the box. And our pieces are scattered all over the place. There's only one unifying factor that there is in the world that has ever been and ever will be, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can assemble these pieces back together, the only thing that will allow them to come together, the only thing that will allow them to lay down their differences and join in a union is when all of these pieces come together is by Jesus Christ and by Him alone. We need to be praying that He would move, that we would do our part, that the devil would be bound, that the devil would quit laughing and start realizing that we're attacking him. We need to put them together. Let me tell you, after you get them all put together, when they're all done and put together, and if there's one piece missing, that's frustrating. We put together a puzzle. Actually, Carrie put it together. I only put it together when it's 3/4 done and I can easily find the pieces. Got it all done. Piece missing. Her dog ate it. We still had it. It was a dog-eat-dog world. A dog-eat-puzzle world. Her dog ate the piece. But we loved the dog more than the piece, I guess, so we didn't. But when it was all done, have you ever seen one? You get them together and there's a piece or two missing? It's frustrating. I can imagine that as God is assembling us together, it's frustrating when we just don't want to fit. When we just don't want to be there. I'm telling you that you're important. Your piece is important to this church. Your piece is important to this body of Christ. Without you, we look odd. We look different. We can't be as good as we can be if you are not in the piece, if you're not in the puzzle. It's frustrating to God. It's frustrating to us. We need you. We need you to do what only you can do. But we need to be assembled together. Assembled together. Assembled together. In Hebrews 10:25. Because if it stays in the box, it doesn't get assembled, it's still worthless. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We, church, need to be assembled today more than we ever have, I believe, in our history. Because it's a world that needs to see that there's a different way. We as a church must stay united. We're different, but one. We as a nation must stay united. We're called the United States of America. And the only way we can stay united is by the grace and help and intervention of God. So God help us. God bless the church. And God bless America. Let's pray. Father, you have a plan, and your plan always trumps ours. We think we got so many different things that we can do. But God, it's your way that's lasting, your way that's life-changing, your way that brings joy and delight to life. Help us, Father, to take a stand for you, but to love people more than ever, Lord. To be able to talk about the things of the gospel, to be able to share in places we've never shared before, to risk the embarrassment of just talking about Jesus and what he can do and how much he loves you and how much he wants to bring peace and joy to your life. So, Father, help us. We can't do without you. We want to be the assembled church of God, walking in one accord. We love you. We bless you. And I thank you again, Lord, for this 400th message I've had the extreme privilege of delivering to this puzzling congregation. I love them so much, Lord. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love you.